Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing the money just can't buy.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with my co-host, Thomas Bonvasuto, better known as Bon Bon.
Yes, sir. It's great to be here.
How are you tonight?
I'm excited.
Yeah, we have a great guest tonight, so tell us. How did your show go last week, by the way?
Oh, it went well. Ron was a great guest to have on. A lot of questions about health care.
Oh, fantastic.
Tonight, it's all about chickens and eggs.
Chickens and eggs.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
All right. So who's our guest tonight?
We have a
tonight,
guest tonight.
Thomas.
So we have Kai Anderson, Dr. Kai Anderson, and she is an experienced real estate investor and landlord.
Not a doctor in the sense we're going to her for medical help.
No, not this week.
Not this week.
So in addition to having advanced degrees from Hopkins right here in Baltimore, and she lives here, she is a graduate of Investors United, a school of real estate investing.
Fantastic.
And she's written a book.
And
so we're
going to
talk about the book. It's called Retire on Real Estate.
Building rental income for a safe and secure retirement,
mm-hmm.
and that's the object. And Kai, I really, really enjoyed the book. I thought you really covered the topic well, but I have one problem, all right? So I want to get it off the table right from the beginning. I felt that you were goading people almost that they had to buy real estate or they were the dumbest investors on the planet. You know, in other words, you just don't understand finance and investments if you don't own rental real estate. I don't own any rental real estate. I've owned it before and I've made money in it. I just don't find it as something I enjoy doing personally.
So
all right, I put you on the spot.
So I don't think I ever used the word dumb in my book. I really don't want people to
I
feel
use
like
that. That's
yeah,
just
see, that's
my interpretation.
So no, people aren't dumb if they don't invest in real estate. But I do want to make the idea, I want to make people aware of the possibility.
The incredible leverage that real estate gives you.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right there.
And that it's not always something for, that it's not specifically something for other people. Like, it is accessible and people can actually do this. Everyday people can have one or more rental properties to diversify in their long-term planning.
And you do a very good job of showing people how to do it, but you know as well as I do, many people have gotten ruined on real estate because they didn't listen to practical advice of what somebody like yourself is talking about in here.
That's true.
And, you know, they over-leverage or they underestimate what can happen, what are the negative, and they don't have the capital to handle it.
Right, and another mistake that people make is that they assume that somebody is a great tenant just because they present well, and so they get into a bad situation.
You
this
talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
this
talk
about yes.
The tenant from hell.
Yes,
so tell
from
us
hell.
Tell us about the tenant from hell. And,
oh, my.
And what did you...
No names,
well,
please.
You know, yeah, don't tell us any names. If you want to, though, you know, really. But tell us a little about that case.
So many people who invest in rental property over a long period of time do end up having a tenant from hell. And one of the things I like to stress in my book is that you do recover. As long as you have, funds to...
That's the idea. Always make sure you have excess capital.
Exactly.
Because things happen.
You have to have that emergency fund. But our tenant from hell, oh my. they collected pets, like some people collect stamps or coins.
Wow.
You'd think that they would have been... like good to their pets, considering they were pet lovers. But actually, these pets ended up doing their business in the basement and then in the backyard, and they never cleaned up after these poor pets. And I learned a lesson personally, as you do with in life and also in real estate. You learn lessons and you become smarter and stronger as you go along. And I did learn lessons about saying no to that cat, that one
right.
extra cat or dog that comes along. So, yeah, we have a no pet policy now. But basically,
That's the one thing you'll learn as a landlord is the incredible environment people will be willing to live in that you would think no human being would be willing to live in.
That is true. That is true. But it's not always the cases. But
you have,
you know, in some cases you do find that. Yeah.
But you have, I'm sure that now you found that you have some incredible tenants who do wonderful things. Keep
Absolutely.
Your place tidy mm-hmm. and so forth, and
yep.
and you know, even willing to fix things without
Absolutely.
Calling you all the time.
Uh-huh.
And those are the kind of tenants
those...
you want. But how do you find them though, Kai?
So in my book and in my companion guide that's on my website, I go through that. The nitty-gritty of how to do that. But basically, it involves a number of things. It involves a background check, credit check. It involves checking the references and actually calling them,
mm-hmm.
talking to past landlords and roommates as well.
So you actually do this on every possible tenant you're going to have now?
I do.
Now,
yeah.
do you find that credit score... you know, really matters, and how high a credit score do you insist on?
I try to stay over 600, and yeah, I have found that the credit score really matters. In times when I've let that slide a little bit, it's not turned out well.
You know that
yeah.
the auto insurance
mm-hmm.
companies
yep.
have now found a high correlation that somebody with a lower credit score, under 650, are much worse drivers than people with credit scores over 650.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
yep.
finding a similar thing when it comes to a tenant.
In sure. terms of the reliability of receiving that rent and
mm-hmm.
Prioritizing that
right.
as a value, basically.
There's no doubt that responsibility and credit go hand in hand.
Right.
That if you're not a responsible person, there's a high probability you're going to let your credit get destroyed. You know, now there are circumstances that happen, and people have low credit scores that have had some unusual circumstances happen.
True,
and,
right.
You know, but there's, you know, the opposite is, you know, there's quite a few people who have low credit scores just because they're just not responsible. They just don't care. And you don't want those as tenants, do you?
That's what I found.
Yeah.
So I do try to help people stay away from those kind of situations and not have to learn those lessons the hard way.
And you have some really good sources, and we're going to talk about more about how to get to your website and your book, and you talk about how to find that right tenant. Because if you're going to be a landlord, finding the right tenant is an incredibly important
part of the equation. Yes, it is.
Well, we got to take our first pause. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about some of the more important issues. How do you get a real estate investment? And then we're going to go on from there. So right now, we're going to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
And we are back. What is that, Chris?
The birds.
The birds. My back page.
There you go.
No. He says they're the godfathers of country rock.
All I know is Fats Domino passed away today, so I expect
Charlie
Fats
Daniels,
Domino.
Marshall Tucker, you know, not the birds. But, you know, I'll take your word for that, you know.
We're debating real estate, not
we're talking real estate tonight. Kai Anderson, her book, Retire on Real Estate, and I agree with her wholeheartedly that if somebody's willing to do it, accumulating mm-hmm. real estate creates an incredible inflation-protected income stream
sure.
for the rest of your life. And then you accumulate other money in 401ks and IRAs, and you have liquidity, and you have this income, and you have your Social Security check, and you kind of create the three-legged stool again that
right.
is not common in today's You know, when my father retired, he had a pension plan, he had Social Security, he had savings. Mm-hmm. Well, people don't have pensions anymore, Kai.
Exactly.
So you're saying build your own pension with a retirement real estate portfolio.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's a good point. So how somebody, okay, there's a young couple or a middle-aged couple or older people like myself, not you,
like
Tom,
like
of
us.
Course, not
like
you, you know, who hasn't bought any real estate before and they have some money. They may not have, either they don't have any or they have some. How did they get started? How did you get started? Why don't you tell us? Maybe that'll help.
So one of the easiest ways or most common even way that people get started and also the way I got started is simply by moving and keeping your house as a rental. And so it doesn't make sense for all people to do this or all homes. It's important to look at the expenses and the potential income you could get from the rental in the rental market for that particular home. I have a cash flow analysis tool on my website, getachicken.com, and you can go
Amy,
in there.
Amy, got to say that slower and twice.
It's a free cash flow analysis tool, so you can go in and plug in your numbers and find out if it's basically a good egg or a bad egg in terms of...
And so it's... What's the site again?
Oh, getachicken.com.
Right.
Getachicken.com.
All right, so we have to explain the chicken and the egg.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, so, I mean, you know, Kai, one of the things you talk about here is because there's not these retirement plans, you know, what does a chicken do? A chicken lays eggs, right? So a chicken,
exactly.
You know, you're equating a rental property to a chicken. The chicken
That's
lays
right.
eggs. The rental property produces income. So there, it's
That's
an
right.
ongoing
it's
production.
Yeah.
It's stable. It's kind of
like
your old...
As long as you don't eat the chicken.
As long as you don't need to eat the chicken or the chicken doesn't die on you.
Right.
So, and so what you're talking about at your website, let's repeat that again. It's getachicken.com.
Yep. And get that'll link that, yep.
Yeah, getachicken.com.
And you have a cash flow analysis tool on there, which is extremely important. And that
right.
is...
Yes.
Figuring out how much rental income you have and how much are your expenses, what could be the weird expenses. And so tell us more about that.
So there's all kinds of expenses that you have to factor in. There's there's utilities if you pay for them, but there's property taxes and insurance. Those are the two big ones, plus your mortgage, of course. The tool actually will calculate your mortgage payment if you're looking at a potential property and looking at different interest rates and that kind of thing. So it'll put in your monthly payment.
And I'm a CPA.
Also.
What about the cost of hiring an accountant to do your taxes, or do you do your own tax return?
Oh, no, I haven't. So the person who wrote the foreword for my book is my CPA, so Amanda Hahn.
Who's that? We'll give them a plug.
Amanda Hahn. She's a Bigger Pockets author. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
And she's an accountant, does tax preparation for people, especially with rental real estate, which can get kind of complex.
Absolutely, right.
I encourage people not to do their own tax return if you're doing rental real estate.
I agree with
unless
that.
You really understand it,
yes.
You know?
Right, and you hit a point. So one of the things you said, one of the ways you entered in was you used the home you were in, and then you bought a different home, if I understood correctly, and then used your original home as your real estate. And you said there are pros and cons to that. And as a tax professional to my right here, Drew would say, well, you know, what about, you know, the exemption?
The capital gain exemption, you know,
right.
you lose it after 3 years of
right.
not living in
right.
that
so
house
you,
as
so
your personal residence.
That is true, right. But if you plan to keep it for the long term, that's...
Especially
not as much of an issue.
It's
or
not.
You can trade it up in the form of a 1031 exchange into a different property if you find one that cash flows better or may have more appreciation potential.
And so what your point is that if you just keep holding that, you're not going to pay capital gains on it anyway and
right.
just let the income keep flowing and flowing and flowing.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact,
with the goal of paying it off ultimately. That's the ultimate goal of paying it off.
Paying the house, the mortgage off
yeah.
with the rental income. And then just letting it keep generating income to you for the rest of your life. And actually, you know, which you may not be familiar with, or maybe you are, is if you hold until the day you die, you don't pay any gains tax on it anyway. Your heirs
well,
won't.
You're dead. But
well, you're dead, but the people who inherited from you will not pay any capital gains tax in a step-up in basis. That's probably the most important thing anybody could
uh-huh.
learn about estate planning is that the heirs receive appreciation property like real estate that's been fully depreciated without any capital gains
right.
liability.
And that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
That
right.
is very significant.
And so that's one way you can really pass you pass your retirement portfolio down to your children that way. In contrast to the nest egg, which you build up over your life, You hope you have enough. You start chipping away at it. You pray and you hope that it's enough. And then you pass on whatever's left to your heirs, if there's anything at all. So
that is absolutely true.
That's right. One of the things in your analysis, you talk about vacancy, mm-hmm. right? So I think one of the things that keeps people away from rental real estate is the tenants from hell, you know, the issues of vacancy, you know, will they be able to cover the mortgage payment?
She's got them all here. She's got seven of them. Tenants, vacancy, repairs, illiquidity, mortgage interest payment, high-risk real estate, What not to buy. Don't buy certain types of real estate.
Right.
And you got one more here that I skipped over. Real estate prices down. In other words, could the real estate market collapse again like in 2008?
Exactly, right.
So which one of those do you really worry about? Because I don't think the real estate down is as big a concern. What do you really worry about? What keeps you up at night, they say?
So I don't worry about the vacancy issue because I do have that emergency fund, but that would be the one I'd say that I try to – that's the one thing I think about the most, because housing values, they really don't matter that much if you're holding it for the long term, as long as you're in an area where you're not dependent on, like, one industry.
How about that call from the client says, hey, Kai, my roof's leaking?
That doesn't bother me as much. You know, you got to have that emergency fund. So
you must have a nice emergency fund.
Yeah, I think she does.
Well, you know, so I still work. So, you know, you have a salary and, you know.
Have a management company or do you handle everything yourself?
We actually handle it all. I handle it all myself. Right
do
now,
you
yeah.
do the repairs if they're just general repairs?
Little ones, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you don't even have a handy person.
No, I do. I do have a handy person who I
go to for bigger deals.
Even smaller deals. Yeah. It's the really small stuff that I do.
Really,
but I have found that I've learned it's actually very empowering, mm-hmm. especially as a woman. Like you learn a lot about homes as you go through this process. And I've come to learn about certain issues that recur. That come up over and over again, and it may not. In the past, maybe I would have called the handyman right away without going over to see it myself. Sometimes I go over to see it myself, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's just such and such. I can handle that myself."
Right.
Well, one thing you talk about that I would also give pause to, and that is you talk about if you have a 401k, you can take a loan out of it to buy real estate or have it as an emergency fund. That brings chills up my back when I hear that, because I've seen too many people take loans and then a year or two later leave that company, can't pay the loan back. Next thing, it's an early distribution. You have to pay taxes on it, a 10% penalty. We think if you absolutely have to, okay, but we shudder when people do that.
So I only recommend doing that, and it's not really a recommendation, but I definitely recommend against doing that for personal reasons, like, a vacation or wedding or a new couch or whatever. But
I'm with you there, that if you're going to take a loan from the 401k and buy a good real estate property and you know you're going to be with that company for a while, it can work. It can work well for you, but let's just think it out clearly.
But some benefits of taking a loan off your 401k, and I've done this twice, are that the interest rate is actually very small, and that interest goes back to yourself, and it's paid over 5 years. So as long as you factor that into your cash flow, and you factor it in. So after 5 years, you'll have a boost in the cash flow.
We could have a whole talk about that one statement you just made there, but we're not going to. We're going to leave it at that, and we're going to go to our next pause with traffic, and we're going to come back Money, Riches, and Wealth after this.
75% of adults agree they could benefit from advice and answers to everyday financial questions from a professional. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consult. We strive to serve as a leader in educating the public on personal finance topics through our Financial Pulse and Consulate Journal. For these publications and learn about our personal financial management services, visit our website at drewtig.com, drewtig.com, and follow us on Twitter at TheFinCon for educational updates.
We talk about homes.
About
I want
home.
To
nice,
walk
sir.
You
nice.
Home. There you go.
Right.
Right into rental real estate.
Well, we're glad that Kai doesn't know any more about music than we do. So, you know, that's a...
But her daughter probably does.
She does, actually.
So I really like your book, Retire on Real Estate, Building Rental Income for a Safe and Secure Retirement. I have lots of clients that have invested in real estate. We're fee-only advisors, so we really encourage people that are willing to do it, do it smart. And that's what one of the things I loved about your book is that you really encourage them to do it smart. Because too many people ran out and bought real estate in 2006, 2007. How many times did you see people get... Did you own any real estate back then?
Yes, in fact, that's when I got started.
Yeah, but you but probably said it's smarter, though.
So, yeah, so, you know, you learn as you go with this stuff, and I was a beginner back then, but I did have a situation where I was up all night, you know, night after night, wondering, what am I going to do with this property? It was a large house with a high mortgage, four bedrooms, and it was becoming vacant. And it had been rented out to this a group of college students that had, you know, huge parties, and right. The police were coming at all hours of the night, and it was a disaster. So
you had two tenants from hell. But go ahead.
This was another tenant from hell in a sense, yeah. Yes. Yes. No, we probably had more than two tenants from hell. But so in this situation, I knew I had to switch it out of the college, the undergraduate college model, because it just wasn't working. And so I had this epiphany in the middle of the night, which is what led to the house share concept that I talk about in the book. So this epiphany in the middle of the night happened, and I realized that if I rented it out room by room to, I was aiming for people who were out of college. You know, you really can't discriminate, but I was aiming for people who are a little more responsible, I should say.
Sure. Actually, that's one age group you can discriminate against, believe it or not, under 21 years of age. But go ahead. So you're okay.
This epiphany, I switched the house over immediately. Like, actually, I put a posting up, like, at 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And just to see how, you know, what kind of bites I got. And I had all kinds of bites. So I was like, okay, this is it. So I furnished the place. I kept the utilities in my own name. I put the Wi-Fi in my name. And I rented it out by the room, which brought me the much higher rent than I was getting before anyway, and I was able to cover my mortgage easily.
But you see, you said something there that's very important. You said, I furnished it, I did this, and
right.
I did that. It's because you had that emergency fund, right? You had that extra cash. You knew where you could get extra resources.
Well, this wasn't high-end furniture. We're
but
talking about like
you,
Craigslist, you know, Freecycle, that kind
but
of thing.
But you still had enough money to do it, enough, you know, even if it was just $3,000 or $4,000, you still had it.
And also enough money to float a couple months of vacancy, too.
And you were creative. That was another thing that's important.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing rental real estate, you've got to be creative. Any investing, whether you're a stock market investor or a real estate investor, you have to be creative and think these things out and so forth. So
and active. You can't just sit there and just passively let it run its course.
Are you doing this rental share concept a lot now, or just that was your only one?
No, yes. Actually, we shifted. So we had that one. That's still a house share. We converted another house over to a house share. It was a three-bedroom townhouse. We put a fourth bedroom in the basement. We almost doubled the income by doing that. So we have a house share. That's a second house share, right? And
now that has to cause some problems, though, occasionally, that you know, four bedrooms,
yes,
four different people, they don't know each other, they're males and females, and all of a sudden, you know, things happen.
So currently we have one co-ed house, one all guys, and one all gals house. And those just tended to stay like that. But you're right. On occasion, there is that personality conflict that is
Yeah, I mean, it could be the all guys or the all girls. You know, you could have just as many conflicts in those as you would in a co-ed.
Absolutely, right. It's not guys or girls or both. You know,
do you have something in your lease that, you know, controls that?
So I do have in my lease that all interpersonal issues need to be worked out on their own as best as possible and to contact me as a last resort. Yeah.
And so I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Let Tom go there if he wants
to. No, I'm not going to go there. But so one of the challenges you talk about, and you're not currently using a property manager, but a lot of times we've seen clients that have had success using property managers.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the pros and cons there?
Sure. So, yeah, I did a number of interviews for my book, and I do have a number of people who happily use property managers. In fact, they love it. They never have to think about their property ever. I mean, they're happy to be in that more passive role, and there's nothing wrong with that. So obviously, one of the cons of a property manager is it's going to cost a little bit of money. They're going to take usually the first month's rent goes to them, and then a certain percentage, it's usually between 8 and 10% of the rent goes to them on an ongoing basis. So there's a little bit of, so you need to have that wiggle room there in terms of your cash flow.
You also have to trust them.
And you have to trust them.
Because
absolutely.
They basically have control of your money to some degree. Because they're going to be getting all the rental income to them,
right.
And then they turn it over to you.
Yep. And so in my workbook that's on my website, I go through like how to find a great property manager, also how to find a great tenant. But, because you really do need to trust that and have...
Well, that was the beauty of your website, getachicken.com,
yep.
Is that... You talk about the cash flow analysis, which is critical.
Yes.
Number two, you talk about how to find a good tenant, which is really critical. And number three, if you can't do it yourself and don't want to do it yourself and it cash flows, that's a good point, that it cash flows,
mm-hmm.
you can hire a property manager who will take care of all of it
absolutely.
For you. And that's, I think that, that's what I really liked about it.
And in retirement, people may not want to be dealing with this. I'm not in retirement myself yet, but, once I am, I
right.
don't
and that's
imagine
one of the things we've talked
handle
with clients about.
Yeah.
I mean, you're young and you're able to go in and you're able to fix the this, that, or the other thing, and you can go and respond. But when people get, you talked about one of the values of this is keeping it till death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of us aren't going to be able to stay as a landlord till death in an active capacity. So having options, whether it's our children, as you point out, that maybe step in some capacity, or you get a property manager,
mm-hmm.
you've got to have a plan. For that, because there is going to be a point where you're not going to want to have those issues to deal with. You get incapacitated, all the different things that can happen.
Right. So you do need to have that person that you can trust that is going to run your matters if you're not able to. Mm-hmm.
The beauty of your book also is that you break it down two big parts. The first part is why you should own real estate,
mm-hmm.
and the second part is how do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things you talked about in your book that I thought was fascinating is if you can't afford to move and buy another house and keep the one you have, you could also just start renting your house.
Yep.
And that's a Airbnb. That's a part of it. Or just rent a room to somebody.
Absolutely.
Rent your basement that's finished or whatever the case.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. A few years ago, we rented out our basement, which is finished and furnished, to a couple of college students.
Now, did they
responsible type.
Did they use your kitchen? You shared the kitchen?
Yeah, we shared the living space. It's actually really cool because my daughter was 4 years old at the time, and these were girls, and she just loved them. She looked up to them. She considers them still to be like, sisters, older sisters, and it was a really great experience, and I actually dropped 20 years in the experience because I found myself staying up late talking about college things. And it was really fun. It was a positive experience for the most part.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's another way that you can start making rental income, and then that income can help you buy another piece of property.
You just save that money and you build it up. It can become your emergency fund, or it can become that down payment.
Absolutely. Well, we have to take our final pause with traffic, and we're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Now, we should know this one, Tom. It's Simon and Garfunkel.
Hey, got the thumbs up on that one.
We got screamed at by Kim when we couldn't get a Simon and Garfunkel song, so I figured I might as well get that first.
That's a good guess.
Homeward Bound.
We waited long enough.
Anyway. If you did I Am a Rock, I'm an Island or whatever, I probably would have gotten that one too, we're here with Kai Anderson and her book, Retire on Real Estate, Building Rental Income for a Safe and Secure Retirement. And Kai, one of the things I wanted to talk about is your concept of making a goal, and you say make your goal smart, specific, meaningful, action-oriented, realistic, and time-specific. That's spelt SMART, Tom.
That's good. That's good.
Did
acronym.
You notice
that?
That's
very good.
An acronym. Make your goals SMART. And so I assume that you guys have had many goals, and you still probably have plenty of goals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And so in various periods of time where I'm at the point of like, well, I think we need another property. It's like, well, let's get that property in the next 9 months. So then usually it ends up being 6 months, but.
So you.
That's
you,
specific.
So that's specific.
9 months.
It's time specific. It's right. Realistic because I know I can get it within 9 months.
Then you develop some action plans.
Yeah, action. You have to take
how much
action
money you have to save or, you know, how are you going to find it?
You have to do work, like, you know.
So you also say in here that when you have a goal, the way to really achieve the goal is to constantly think about it. And one way to think about it is have a mantra or a theme song.
Yes.
So we're looking to you to sing us your theme song of your latest goal. No, that's okay.
My daughter has made it clear that I should not sing, so I'm not going to sing. But
you
my,
guys actually do this.
I do this, yes.
You actually
yes.
have
I know
a
the
mantra
Rachel Platten
or...
fight song
okay.
by heart. Yes, I do sing it. On I, you know, I run.
The which
and so
fight song?
It's called Fight Song. I don't know if you know that song, but
fight
it's
song.
A newer...
Okay.
Song.
We should have worked on that earlier in the show.
We
should
can't
have had
even
it
get the older
break.
Songs.
Yeah,
let alone
right.
the
newer
songs.
Never mind the newer songs.
So anyway,
so,
the other
it's a pop song.
The other thing that I liked is, you know, our firm, as we say, is a fee-only firm, and we like to talk to our clients a lot about the concept that money is a very important tool, but it's only a neutral tool. That really the important thing in life is having strong and healthy relationships. And you talk about this in your book, and that's one of the other things I found fascinating about your book, is you talk about assets and liabilities in a different way. I've never heard it mentioned this way.
Uh-huh.
I'm a money guy, so I'm strictly thinking assets and liabilities. But you talk about assets of the heart, assets of the mind, and assets of the pocket.
Right.
So there's the money side,
yes.
You know. But the assets and liabilities of the heart and mind are just as important, and you're talking about this in a real estate book, so I found that fascinating because it sort of rhymes with our company's theories and things.
Awesome, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you think about this.
So basically, if anybody knows about the Robert Kiyosaki theory of assets, it's that asset puts money in your pocket and a liability takes money out of your pocket. But I was thinking about this, and I think about this in a more, in a broader sense, because I think about our relationships that are day-to-day relationships, whether they're with our partner or spouse, our children, friends, coworkers, or even just people, you know, we bump into at the grocery store. Like, our relationships really matter, and also our mindset matters. So we can't really... I don't think we can achieve our goals and achieve happiness at the same time if we don't have the assets of the heart in
your
strong,
relationships and stuff.
Relationships
yeah.
and activities and things that that we're passionate about in a strong sort of way, and then also assets of the mind, which would include like positivity, being proactive,
continuing learning and things of that sort.
Various,
you know,
yeah, various things, keeping your mind sharp and.
One of the sayings we have is it's not the things in life that happen to us that define who we are. It's how we respond to them,
react
to them, you know. And that's so important that,
absolutely.
You know, if you always are looking to external forces when things happen to us as to this is why, you know, you're going to have problems all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at that from a positive point of view, okay, this has happened. How do I take this and turn it into a positive? How do I take
right.
this and deal with it in a way that it's going to be most positive for my long term, no matter how difficult it
right,
is?
Right.
And that's easy to say, very difficult to do.
Right. And what you're saying here makes me think of a quote that I came up in the process of writing the book, which is saying poor me only makes me more poor.
Yeah. You had an incredible amount of sayings in here that I loved reading all of them, you know? And I mean, I'm sitting right here with Will Rogers. It's on this page. It says, a stranger is just a friend if I haven't met yet.
That I haven't met yet. Yep.
Yes. I didn't read that very well. Let me try it again.
Try that one again.
A stranger is just a friend I haven't met yet.
That's right.
There you go.
Will Rogers.
All I got to do is read a little slower.
That's right.
And think about it a little more.
So, Kai, let's because we want to make sure people can find you. Your website again, getachicken.com.
That's right.
Just
somebody is going to start laying eggs for you.
Getachicken.com. And on your site, there are several things. And so one of the things we were talking about is under the freebies section, that's where people can find that cash flow analysis form and the Anderson inspection method. Under the buy book section, there's your ebook, which is the companion to this, which will walk you through, including, figuring out how do I figure out these tenants and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Right. And how do I know if the property is a good property to buy? Yeah.
Right. Do that analysis. Yeah. So that's right where that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
So, again, we get into the concepts here that you have. You lay out all the financial issues with owning real estate. You talk about a lot of the psychological things. And that's why I think this book is a great one for people who truly do want to get into real estate. Right?
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And so you own what? 5 properties now?
We have 5 properties plus the one borrowed chicken that I talk about where we rent it out from somebody who lives out of state. And then we rent it for one price and then we rent it out by the room in the form of a house share to 4 individuals.
Yeah, so you leverage that a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
They deal with the ownership. They mm-hmm. bought it and they laid out all the costs, but
you deal with the
arbitrage basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good strategy. So you're using a variety of the strategies you talk about in the book.
Absolutely.
There are 5 people that you need to know if you're going to do this. One you say is a real estate agent. One's a mortgage broker. One's a good home inspector,
mm-hmm.
a CPA or a tax preparer that mm-hmm. knows rental real estate, and the last is a real estate attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Is those the 5 that you really need?
Did you mention handyman?
Handyman
is definitely on the list.
All right, make it 6 yeah. then. I only saw the 5, but 6 of that handyman is an excellent one.
Yeah.
And so what about real estate agents? Real estate agents frustrate me. Let's just put it. Let me put it on the table. All you real estate agents listening, I love you dearly, but you frustrate me,
Well, I think real estate agents get a bad rap, but, you can get properties with or without an agent, and I've done it both ways, and both ways have worked out well. So an agent will make it a little easier for you. They'll open up the homes for you. They'll let you in. They have the keys to those little black boxes that...
Right.
Do you have real estate agents that come to you quickly and say, hey, Kai, I'm going to have a listing that's going to go on the market in 2 or 3 days. Are you interested in seeing it before we...
I have had a little bit of that, yeah.
Now, yeah. Do you tend to find that they are actually really a good deal?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Right. But I'm not... at this point in time, I'm happy with the number we have. We have, we have 5 rentals plus that extra one that... we do the lease sublet on, and I'm happy at this level right now.
Why do we need to know a real estate attorney? You're saying that is there issues come up?
No, well, that does help when issues do come up. But so this is sort of in lieu of the real estate agent. So if you go out and find the property yourself, and there's so many ways to do this. I talk about many of them in the book. But if you go out and find a property yourself, then you're going to need to go to closing somehow. And so having that real estate attorney / title agent.
Okay, is it beyond a title agent?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So a good title company that you're comfortable working with.
They can get you through to get through
as
the settlement
usual,
process.
When we have a great guest, the time just flies by. And we're at the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure everyone knows how to get in touch with Kai, and that is getachicken.com is the easiest way to do that.
That's right. Yep.
Getachicken.com. And I think it's an excellent book and an excellent website. If you're interested in real estate investing, this is the way to do it. Kai, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me on. It's
and
been fun.
Shower the people with love. That's what we say.
That's
and
right.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.